Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to a joint edition of Sportsology Radio and the FDH Lounge. It's FDH Lounge mini episode number 650. And if you've been following along all this period of time, you know what this means. Rick Morris, Russ Cohen coming at you today. And we are here to talk about another of Russ's books. We started doing this going back to mini episode 250, where we had him on to talk the Winter Classic, the NHL Savior, and courtesy of the FDH Lounge show index page. I'm scrolling down here. 350, we were talking about baseball's best rookies. 450, we were talking about 100 things every Ranger fan should know and do before they die. And 550, of course, was Numbers Don't Lie, the book about the New York Mets. Excellently timed for this year's pennant run. But This was really something, Russ. We've just kind of thrown this out that it's every 8 to 10 months or
so,
somewhere
planned.
In that ballpark.
None of this has been planned. I never planned any of this. I just want to let people know that. It's not a well-thought-out plan.
Well, it's kind of been a challenge as we've gone along. If you got another book out, we'll do this again. And, you know, realistically, we would talk about the book whenever it came out. But as far as trying to catch it up, how many times can we do this in a row? 750, I got to warn you, we've been on kind of a faster pace recently, so I don't know what the next thing is going to be. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But for 650 today... we've got another excellent book and a team you haven't written about before, although you've written extensively about hockey. This is the Philadelphia Flyers, Images of Sports. So I guess we'll just start with the basics here. How did this project come about?
Well, I have some friends, Mike Del Tufo, who I wrote the Winter Classic book with, and his brother Joe. You know, they covered a fair amount of Flyers games, a ton, and Joe is a photographer. And so we've all worked together. And just decided, hey, you know, we should do a book on the Flyers. We'd be a good group to do it. And there's a lot of familiarity here. Mike and I traveled a lot. So that part's good. I've been covering the team for more than a decade now, it seems. So that's, you know, all of a sudden I'm entrenched there. And so it just seemed right. And we wanted to sort of give a different focus, a different look. We definitely still paid homage to the Broad Street Bullies, you know, a team that I grew up despising as a Ranger fan. But you have to, because they were a great team. And so, we made sure we encompassed all that. But we really focused on the new building, which has had a million different names, going forward, like the Lindros era forward. That was the big focus, because I feel like there's a lot of Flyers fans out there that, listen, they love the fact that they were the Broad Street Bullies and had that history and everything else, but would sort of like to live a little bit more in the present. And a lot of them grew up with Lindros and Renberg and LeClaire. And so they'd like to celebrate them a little bit more and a little bit more recently, too. So we tried to do that.
It was interesting, yeah, because when I got some notes from you about this, I then went and looked up online, because when you mentioned about targeting a little bit more towards the era of the newer arena that they're in, I was surprised to find out exactly when that started, that it was as far back as the 96-97 season, because for those of us outside of Philadelphia, you know, we kind of don't really understand the difference as much, because I think didn't they even call it the new spectrum for a while, and it just kind of confused me. Spectrum 2, I thought I saw somewhere. Maybe I was mistaken about that. But I know the 76ers, I think, were playing in one building for a while, and, you know, the Flyers in another. And it's a little bit harder to follow if you're outside of Philly, because something like in Cleveland, they build the Q Arena downtown. The Coliseum had been out in Richfield. It's kind of a clearer delineation, but as far as the two arenas go, I know that, again, it was going to be built with a lot of the modern trappings and as far as the luxury suites and whatever. But what are some of the kind of things that differentiate this era of hockey versus the old spectrum era of hockey?
You know, there's no pillars or anything. That was a pretty nice move. just at the time that this arena got opened, the places like MSG and other places were taking the pillars out. So that was a big deal. The Sixers have always actually played with the Flyers. They played in the old Spectrum. They played in this building,
okay,
too. Yeah, so that's been a constant. But the other parts of this building that were good were just extended seating. I mean, they have a, you know, a bigger arena than some of the smaller, newer ones. Like Barclays has some obstructed seats, but they're bigger than that. They're bigger than the MTS. They're bigger than a decent amount of them. So you have that too. And so there was that. But a lot of people actually saw this building break out and actually become very public in 1996, because the first hockey event they had was the World Cup of Hockey.
Okay.
And
that's
so that was
a way
to
open a building.
That's a heck of a way to open a building. They had trouble getting all the seats done in time. It was one of those things where that was something where they were rushing to get it done. And so that was a big deal, and we all know that was the World Cup of Hockey, where Mike Richter, really a hometown guy from PA, never played for the Flyers, but almost had a chance to play there once. It would have been interesting if he did. And so, you know, he's from Flower Town, PA. And so, yeah, he won the MVP and the U.S. won. And so that was a big deal. But, yeah, game one was in Philly, and they played a few of them in Philly. So that was the way they broke open the building, and because it was in Philly and Montreal.
Okay.
So that was the way the series shook out back then. So kind of an interesting way to open the place, and really it's gone through some minor renovations over the years, but it's really held up very well, and they have good sound in there. It's not drowned out by just being too big and vast, and so it has a really good atmosphere.
Well, one of the things that's interesting also, too, when we're talking about the Flyers and about the totality of their history, is that, to me, when you're looking at cities or regions, as it were, if I'm going to mention Minnesota also, you got Philly and Minnesota, I think most people would tend to associate as, outside of the original six, the areas that are most fanatical about hockey, and yet in doing some of my reading up on how the Flyers came to be, it almost seemed to be more of a chance kind of a thing. Ed Snyder was very much impressed with the support of the last place Boston Bruins at one point, I think in 1964. But one would think there had to be some kind of a hockey heritage even predating the NHL, going back over a period of time, because it seems like from day one they've really embraced the team, and by the time the Broad Street Bullies came around, they were already an institution.
Oh, no, there was, and Scoop Cooper makes mention of it. You know, you can go back to the Philadelphia Arrows, and actually even before that, there was the Can-Am League, which still exists, and actually that's when the Arrows started, in 1927.
Okay.
And after that was the Philadelphia Ramblers. So there is quite a history in Philly. And so it didn't just start from nowhere, but they had to start from somewhere to get into the NHL. They did, you know, and then they won their consecutive cups. That was a big deal. And like I said, that's the thing, is how many years do you want to talk about that? And so, you know, Lindros had a hell of a career. He made it to the Stanley Cup himself. Yeah, they got beat by your Detroit Red Wings. but they've been back to the Cup a few times since. Chris Pronger just went into the Hall of Fame. They were in the Cup then. And so you go and you look at those things and you say, wow, you know, it's getting quite a history. I mean, you know, that Patrick Kane goal, everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Blackhawks won their Cup. That was their first big win back on the Cup trail. So that was, you know, again, it's got a lot of celebrated history, the Wells Fargo Center.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to me that when we're talking about the newer history of the Flyers, which, as you said, the book focuses a little bit more on versus the previous history, doesn't it seem that the old days kind of continue to cast a shadow when you look at the legacy of the franchise and who gets turned to run the franchise, whether it be Bobby Clark, Ron Hextall, et cetera? It's interesting that they seem to be continually going to the past for inspiration as they're trying to refocus and reshape what the Flyers are going to be for the 21st century.
I think they have some trusted advisors for that, but I think it finally stopped. I think Ron Hextall stopped all of that. And that's why every once in a while you sort of see that the Flyers, while they're competitive, they're definitely rebuilding at the same time, and they're working things completely different than they used to as far as how long they'll keep players in the minors, and they're not rushing them up and all those kinds of things that people are used to seeing the LA Kings do, where Hextall's from, and they've had tremendous success. So I think when you stop to think about it that way, while he was a player of the past and yet won a Conn Smythe in a losing effort in the Stanley Cup himself, you say, okay, you know, Ed Schneider has some trusted guys. He has Holmgren. He's got Hextall. Bobby Clark still is in the arena. But Hextall's a guy in charge, firmly in charge, and he has his own vision, and it's unwavering. And that's the part where even at times you'll see disbelief from the fans, even sometimes from the media, like, wow, you know, how could you not bring up and, you know, fill in the blank, because they've got a lot of talented rookies. And he won't. He won't do it before they're ready. Even if they're looking like they're close to being ready, he won't do it. And so that's something where they've changed direction. They've got a new coach in Dave Hextall. And so you have that. And so I think right now it's a pivotal point for them in their history. And that's why it's a good time that we have this book out, because it is a good time for Flyers fans to sort of look ahead. Even if this is not the year, and I think a lot of them realize, hey, right now they're off to a good start. We'll see where it goes. But there's things to look forward to. You know, Ivan Provorov was their first-round pick last year, tremendous defenseman. He's right now playing in the Canada-Russia series. He's not with the Flyers. You know, there was a chance he could make it. He's in the book because we wanted to make sure that we showed, hey, he could be the next big star for them. And we have a few of the young guys in the book. So we even made sure we included that.
That's good. I think that's a very good feature to have to help make the thing a little bit more timeless, so that in a couple of years people will be able to look at it and kind of see them at the genesis point of their career. But before I segue to asking a little bit more about the book specifically, let me just follow up on your point there about the approach that they're using right now. We see in Toronto, and have seen over the last decade or so in one of these hockey-obsessed cities, how difficult it is to commit to actual rebuilding, and how sometimes, again, the hesitation to start the rebuild just prolongs the process further. Do you think that Hextall has successfully sold the locals on this approach? Because it can't be an easy thing to do to let them know, hey, we may not be that good for the next couple of years. They're at the point now where, you know, probably a lot of that's behind them. But what's it like in a city like Philadelphia to try to have to sell people on a full-on rebuild when they're not used to it?
It's hard because they haven't had a winner in a while. I mean, the Phillies won, but the Flyers haven't won in a while. The Eagles have, you know, never won a Super Bowl. They've won championships, but that goes far back as your Browns, right? So
yeah,
pretty much.
That's what I was thinking.
Not quite that far, but close. And so other than the Phillies, and then some of the other smaller teams have won, you know, the Soul and things like that, but they don't seem to hit the radar. You know, the Phantoms won when they were here. You know, it's hard because they are hungry for a winner. They want to see their teams in their other sports win, Sixers included, and I'm not even sure they have a win yet. Do they have a win yet? I think they're still defeated on this season.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's going to be a long year.
It's going to be a long year for them again. So it's hard, but I think they're taking it in stride. I think there's a lot of Flyers fans that looked at this and said, okay, let's see what you got here, Ron. We'll ride with you for a while, and then let's see what you bring us. And, you know, and they have a lot of great prospects, and now they're not making the prospect for veteran trades. And so there's a little bit more belief with that. Yeah, the Sixers are 0-6.
Yeah.
So, actually 0-7, sorry. They lost yesterday.
Yeah, their rebuild has been more pronounced and more of a long-term kind of a deal, even than what the Flyers are doing. But, yeah, it's very, very interesting. And it's good that, again, you know, you're shaping this book towards this moment in Flyers history, looking back at where they've been, as you said, looking ahead with some of the stars of the future that they look to be grooming. And, again, in the salary cap era in any of these sports, that's pretty much how you have to do it, is have the base of growing your own and getting that foundation there. So, obviously, that's a very good point in the book, is to have some of these guys featured for the years ahead here. But I know there's an awful lot in terms of behind-the-scenes material that you have here, whether it be photographs, stories from behind the scenes. Why don't you detail some of the things that are in this book that will really be standout features for Philadelphia Flyer fans?
Well, sure. I mean, we have pictures of the Flyers in the locker room. We've got, like, a picture of Wayne Simmons laughing after a game, and both of his eyes are completely swelled shut. Like, you just, where do you see that in any other sport? You know, I think if it were baseball, we would know where that player would be. He'd be on the DL, right? It's just
right.
What it's come to. We see, like, Sean Couturier with like, the first beard he's ever had. You see, you know, at the draft, we have pictures of Travis Sanheim being drafted and some of the other guys. We have a picture of Brian Boucher, who's on the NHL Network, with a Santa beard. I mean, so
mm-hmm.
we have Claude Giroux shooting hoops, which is something he does before every game. So we've got behind the scenes that way. We've got pictures of, like, Ken Hitchcock at the practice facility in his office. You know, fans never really get to see that. We've got Peter Laviolette at the All-Star game. We've got Braden Schenn on a Harley. Like, there's just a lot of shots here that are not everyday shots. We've got Frank the Elevator Guy. He's a legend there. I'm pretty sure he's not in any book. And so, you know, we have Roger Nielsen, you know, the great Roger Nielsen. Ranger fans and Flyers fans both love the guy, and obviously other teams too. So we had those shots. You know, we have shots of a reporter that I used to work for, Fran Rupert, who had passed away a few years ago. He's in there. So it's nice to remember that. We've got Jeremy Roenick with a swelled-up face. So a lot of different things, you know. I mean, and I like that. We have Jaromir Jagr all painted up at the Winter Classic, and he only played, like, one shift in the Winter Classic and got hurt, never came back. But he's got, like, a fake goatee and an eye black and a fake mustache. And so that's great. We have a picture of Jagr with, like, a porn stash that he did for a little while, but unless you were following the team or saw that game, you might not know it. We've got some great Winter Classic shots. We've got very young shots of Giroux. We've got a first goal shot of James Van Riemsdyk. So, you know, first goal, sixth NHL game. So, you know, you have to be there for shots like that. And so, you know, we've got a little bit of everything. And I think fans will really appreciate it. We even got a shot of Antero Nidamaki with the Calder Cup, because we all covered that. So, you know, nice little shots. A shot of the Flyers ring, or I should say rings, on the Stanley Cup. And go in high detail. So things like that. Things, shots that, you know, unless you're getting to all these places, and even if you're a good fan, you still can't get to some of these places that we've been. And I'm not trying to show off. I'm just trying to say that we're just making sure everybody gets to see it. That's really the key.
No, understood. Understood.
Yeah.
You're using the access to bring it to the public here in this book. And I find it very interesting what you said about the Winter Classic, because, again, as you know, I personally am a big fan of the theory of don't leave any meat left on the bone, repurpose wherever you can. So here you are. You've been covering the Winter Classic all these years. You have the book out. There's only so much material that you could use for any specific game, but here you are, and you can use a lot of it here and put it in this book and deliver a lot of it to people for the first time.
No question. We also have a celebrity section, so Bone Star or Angel Star or, you know, David Boreanaz, big Flyers fan. I've met him a few times, once when he was playing a charity game, once in the Flyers locker room, and I've seen him in the Flyers locker room more than a few times. He's a big fan. He comes and...
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And he's very active on Twitter. Dr. J, who I grew up idolizing on Long Island, you know, as a member of the New York Nets. In the ABA, we've got pictures of him at the ceremony when they were knocking down the Spectrum, because, you know, we covered that. So you'll see that. We've got a picture of Hulk Hogan wearing a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey from the 2004 Stanley Cup playoffs. When Brooke was singing the national anthem, he was there. So, you know, we have some really, really cool shots like that, too. And so a little bit of everything. We really tried to bring exciting shots, funny shots, candid shots. I mean, you know, nobody's going to mistake this for a Bruce Bennett book, you know?
Sure.
There's even a photo that I took, you know, for Ivan Provorov at the Combine, because most fans don't get to the Combine, right? And that was
and that was
before the Flyers drafted him. So, you know, we're tracking these guys. And so we just want people to enjoy that part of it. You know, picture tells a thousand words. These are all really great shots. Joe is a terrific photographer. Obviously, I'm not. So the shot that's in there, certainly not a Bruce Bennett shot. But there's a lot of great shots in here, and we really enjoy, like, there's even funny signs, you know, needling Sidney Crosby and Justin Bieber, and people will appreciate it.
Well, what it sounds like to me, because I always like to get into this with you, regardless of what the book is, in terms of the process on how something comes together, how it kind of lines up. And for some of the books that have had lists, I've asked you how you go through and how you disseminate, and, you know, you and your co-author, if you have one on a book, how you determine that. It sounds like for this, maybe it might have been a little bit easier than some of the other ones, because the overarching theme I'm getting is, what would fans of the Philadelphia Flyers like to see? What would they like to see? Some of the fun stuff, some of the interesting stuff, whatever. Is it as simple as that, as just trying to put yourself in the shoes of a fan, be they hardcore or casual, and, like, what would they like to see about the Flyers?
Yeah, it's definitely about that. Joe, Mike, and myself, we got all these photos together. Joe had tons in his archives. Mike had tons in his archives, because he always went and shot with a real camera, too. You know, mine's the only cell phone shot, but, you know, cell phones got better. At least it's pretty high res, but nothing like what those guys were shooting, you know? And so we wanted to get all these together, and the Flyers were generous enough to give us some shots as well of some really special players, some players like Pelle Lindbergh and some players who are no longer with us, but we didn't want to forget them, you know? So that was a big thing on my checklist, was like, hey, let's use a shot of some of these guys because, you know, they're not forgotten. And,
sure.
And so, because I don't see a lot about them. I mean, Lindbergh you do, obviously. But, you know,
sure.
Dmitry Turchynov you don't. And he died in a boating accident. And so, you know, those kinds of guys, I think people will appreciate it. They'll be like, wow, I haven't seen anything on him maybe since his death. And so, you know, I think that's a nice spot. I think it'll be bittersweet, but I think it'll be fun. And so we got together, and Joe not only is great shooting, but he also had to do the conversion from color to black and white, which is not an easy thing to do because, you know, it sounds easy, right? We go to a computer, you click color to black and white, and you're done, right? But not when you're doing it for a high-quality book.
Okay.
So sometimes a shot can't make it because it doesn't look good in the conversion. So that took Joe an awfully long time. So that was a pretty big deal. And Bruce Cooper, Scoop Cooper, we call him, he works for NBC. He's been with the Flyers forever, really since forever. He's been around the team since the very beginning. And so he wrote the forward. He's a historian, just the same way that we became friendly and wrote with John Halligan for the Ranger book. Scoop sort of provides us this backdrop to get Flyers fans into this book. And to me, there's nobody better. So, because he's seen it all, done it all. You know, he knew Fred Shiro personally. So there's some great insight we could get from him. So we got that. And so we tried to leave no stone unturned, and then you have to caption everything. And while it sounds easy, like, hey, what's a caption? It's only a couple hundred words. You're still trying to choose, like, the best couple hundred words, right? Because you want it to mean something. And so, you know, there's even editing with our captioning. And, you know, we all helped edit each other. And then Arcadia Press, who did the book, did their job as well, their due diligence. And they did a great job with the layout. And so it's going to come out on January 11th. My guess is it'll come out probably a little bit before then for people who order ahead of time on Amazon, because that's the way it usually seems to work. And so that's where we're at. And we're really happy with it. I have not seen a printed version yet. I'm excited to, though. I am.
Sure. That's got to be a milestone every time one of these comes out, is getting a chance to hold it in your hand for the first time and get to see it. And when it reaches that stage in the process, I know, going back to, for example, the Ranger Greats book, that you're always out there on the hustings. You guys have always got book signings and events. And I know in that case you had incorporated some of the Ranger legends at some of the book signings. Are you far enough along this time to kind of anticipate what might be some of the events that you have planned for promoting this book as you're out there at various bookstores and other events?
Yeah, I know we'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Glassboro, New Jersey. We're coming up with a date now. So that's one that I know about. We're working on some other things. And so I don't have anything else to announce just yet, but we're definitely working on it, and we definitely will be places. And so that's something that is definitely a focus, because we do want to have those situations. You know, maybe we'll show up at a Flyer event or two. We're going to work on that stuff because it's important, so we're trying.
Well, it's good, too, in terms of the photographs you had indicated that the team had turned over to you. To have the cooperation of an organization like this, you would think it's a no-brainer, but it's not always the case. So it's good to know that they're in the fold here and cooperative as far as this project going forward.
Yeah, they're tremendous. I mean, they're so easy to work with. They're one of the best-run organizations in hockey. Their PR department wins awards. I mean, they're really great, and you never want to just say, oh, they're great, and just sort of let it go. I mean, they're great to work with. And so, yes, they really, anything was pretty much at our disposal. So if somebody doesn't like this book, it's not because of the Flyers. It's because we didn't pick the right photo.
Well, I'm sure people will enjoy the book. So, again, put it out there, Russ. When is this officially going on sale, to when people can expect it? I know that they can do the pre-order now, but what is
the
official release date
again?
Yeah,
you can pre-order now on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I'm pretty sure you can get it at Chapters and Indigo online. You got to check that out for Canada. It'll be in Barnes & Noble stores right around that January 11th mark. I've checked with Barnes & Noble, and so maybe they'll get it in the day before. But as well, if you go to your bookstore and pre-order it, if you're one of those people that want to get it at the bookstore, you could do that too. So it'll be everywhere. Arcadia's got great distribution, and we're really proud of it.
That is excellent. You should be proud of it. Another outstanding project, and I am looking forward to getting my hands on it and enjoying it as I have the previous ones. And going back to where we started this here with our conversation, Russ, I anticipate FDH Lounge Mini Episode 750 probably to be in the ballpark of the summer of 2016. So we'll see if the stars align again. They have perfectly the last couple of times out.
You never know, but right now I can honestly say I have nothing signed just yet.
Okay. Well,
so
we'll
you never
see.
Know.
We'll see. Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, as we've demonstrated before. To be able to promote a Russ Cohen book five times consecutively on a 100 number here, 250 all the way to 650, that was unlikely enough. I got a sense that the streak is not over with, but again, great
you
to have
know.
This
Cal Ripken probably felt like his. I was going to say Cal Ripken probably felt like his streak would go on forever. I don't know if this one will either. Who knows?
Well, again,
and they're not the same. I'm not saying they're the same.
You know what, though? But again, having a book come out, again, every 8 to 10 months or however long it's been to kind of coincide with this. And again, sometimes it's been a little bit ahead of the release date, as was the case this time. I think it's generally been a little bit ahead of the release date, but it's always been right about in that range there. It's remarkable that we've been able to do this, but again, I can't wait to get my hands on it, and I'm sure all fans of hockey, great photography, et cetera, feel the same way. Thanks very much, Russ. Always a pleasure, my friend. Congratulations on the book, and great to talk about it with you here today.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this joint mini-episode of the FDH Lounge, an episode of Sportsology Radio.
Ever dreamed of owning your own home? If you're a council or housing association tenant, the government's Right to Buy scheme could open the door for you. Because now you can get up to £77,900 off the price of your home. So why not find out if Right to Buy can open the door for you? Call an advisor on 0300 123 0913 or go online to righttobuy.gov.uk.